This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 29th of October, 1963. The title of this lecture is Routine 4. This tape is 93 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Well, winter has arrived. And you are all ready now with your mukluks and parkas. But there will be no dog sleds. They bark, you know, and interrupt sessions and so forth. What's the date? 29 October, AD 13, St. Hill Special Briefing Course. Well, I was going to talk to you today about R4. But you look a little weak. And I better talk about it anyway. Now, if you only knew the truth of it, the whole mind is composed of R4. And you can get somebody into more trouble with incorrectly done R4, and somebody into more high levels of beingness with correctly done R4 than anything you've ever seen. This R4 doesn't compare to being shot, being burned alive, being dumped out of high buildings, going through wars and things like that. It's much more effective on a thetan. The truth of the matter is that every now and then somebody relatively expert in auditing who is doing R4 or some old-time PC, also an auditor, who is being run on R4 will look up and say, "My God, how could raw meat ever do this?" And that's the truth of it. They couldn't. And I've just been through, we're right up to the top of the bank fooling around my PTGPM and so forth. And I've had a lot run out below it, but moving in on the thing for the kill, you see. And we were sitting there doing an analysis of having missed the present time GPM and gotten into a muck which consisted of running items without having the GPM with a shut-off RR. See, the RR had shut off. The only thing that shuts off an RR or RS or falls or stills the meter or anything like that. The only thing that does this, and I underscore that, it's a terribly important datum for you, is running items without having the goal. And they shut off, clank. Off goes your surges. Off goes the lot. Off goes your TA action. Off goes everything else, and especially the RR. That goes off, your RS shuts off. In other words, your meter becomes completely inoperative and inactive. And the only thing that does this sweepingly, with a crash and an exclamation point, the only thing that does this, the only thing that does this, I wish to God that when you're looking at a stilling meter, a meter that's going still on you, you're doing lists, not a goals list now, that naturally runs out of its RR, don't you see? And it runs your tone arm action out of the list. I'm not talking about that, you see. But you're doing items. You're doing items. It's an item list. And you're doing items, and you see, the needle is getting less active. Now, if you're very, very clever, very, very, very clever as an auditor, you're very, very observant, and you're right on your toes, and you know your business all the way through, and you're just grooved, man, grooved, you all of a sudden will will watch this phenomenon. And the funny part of it is the next slash is slightly less, the next RR is slightly less, the next RR is slightly less, the next slash is slightly less, the next blowdown is less, don't you see? See, you can get a good, you can be fooled, you see, you can get two good blowdowns on items, and then the third item and doesn't blow down at all, hardly, and then the other one doesn't blow down, and so forth. And, but the slashes and the reeds of the needle is what you're really taking here, not the blowdown. And you all of a sudden see that you're looking at a stilling meter, you're running a wrong goal. You are busy, 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 little beaver, getting items out of a GTM for which you do not have the goal. And the PC will go, not necessarily creak. This isn't what turns on the creaks. It's bad enough. A lot of things turn on creaks. But the PC feels like he's getting into sort of a dry sandpaper. Mass is getting very, very thick. And things are getting very heavy. And so forth, and the next thing you know, why, he just goes stuck. He'll go completely leaden. He feels just very leaden. He feels like he can't think, and can't act, can't operate, can't spark. And oddly enough, he won't necessarily ARC break. How do you like that? He just sits there woodenly. You're running in a GPM to have fun, see, except you're calling it to be sad. Doesn't even have to be that far opposite. It's just to be funny. That's good enough. To have fun, and you're running it as to be funny. That's enough. Next thing you know, surges getting less, meter getting less active, everything getting less active. You find another item, you find another item, you got less action and less surge and less this. And you knucklehead, you then went ahead and found another item, and you found yourself looking at a completely stuck, still needle. No matter what you do with that needle. Now, of course, the thing to do, isn't it, is to immediately put in all the mid-roots. That's the best way to then clobber the PC. Put in all the mid-roots. Of course, that's something like pouring gasoline on a fire. That's just nonsense. Nobody can suppress that hard. Can't be done. And you do your regular bypass charge because you can't get anything to read now. And you'll get a nice flick on wrong goal or incorrectly worded goal or something like this. And there might be a much stronger one line in your case analysis form, such as are we, because this is the most serious thing that can happen in auditing. You can add a line in there that says something to this effect. Something to this effect. Are we running items out of a GPM we don't have the name of? Some such wording thing. You haven't got the name of the GPM. You see, I haven't got the goal for the GPM. You're running items out of it. Well, that'll lock up a case gorgeously. Now, there's only one cure for this. One cure. There aren't any other cures. And this is not necessarily a difficult cure, but there's only one, and that is find the right wording for that GPM. Find the right goal for that GPM, see? See, a GPM is a thing. It's a great, big, massy island of mass, black and uncouth and filled full of items which are all opposed to each other. And it's all packed in like mad. And if you had one of these things in here, because the Thetan is mocking it up, you see it doesn't necessarily have a lot of weight. But as you get one in the middle bank, why, it's about 65 feet long, about 5-6 feet thick, maybe 20-25 feet wide. And it is a thing, in other words. It's a rather uncouth-looking thing, big slab, and irregular edges. And if you had a tractor someplace and pull one of these things out into the front yard, you see, it's just mass, and it's just mass. But the significance of that mass is its goal, is the goal, to something or not to something. And it's much easier to run implant GPMs than it is actual GPMs, because implant GPMs have predictable wordings. An implant GPM is to spit or to be spat or something like this, you see. It's always to be or to not is about as complicated as an implant gets. To not be, see. To be cold. To not be cold. Seldom the knots. The knots are very infrequent in implant GPMs. It's more likely to be warm versus to be cold, see. And to run, that isn't an implant GPM, but that would be the sense of one. See, nice and simple. It isn't the end wordings that's simple, it's that be that is simple, see. It's either a be or it's missing. See, it's to move, see, or to be moved. See, that's the total. There is no more variety. See, there's no more variation in these things. They're quite predictable. Somebody that's listing for implant GPM say, to have a very good time and so forth, kicky shins. There are no such implant GPMs. Couldn't be. See, that's carried forward by the limitations of those squawk boxes, you see, and those things had to put out a meaning, and they had to put it out briefly, and electricians are expensive, and people who implant are chee-chee, see. They always follow these very, very simple patterns. But an actual GPM is a horse of another hue. Now, an implant GPM doesn't have one of these big islands with it. It's more like an alley. It has black mass connected with it, but it's more like a little alley. It's a couple of rows of parking meters or something like this. Sometimes they're all centralized in one location with the snaps and bangs up on the poles and the squawk box, a speaker box right on the platform they put the Thetan on. These vary, but they make a little bit of a mass. See, they do make a mass. And Thetan is relatively uneducated, and even one who is pretty well educated sometimes looks at an implant GPM, and because he's in the middle of it, don't you see? All cats are black, you know, and you can't see out of the middle of a small dark room any better than you can see out of the middle of a big dark room, you know. It's the same piece of business. You can't see, in other words, so you don't know what you're looking at because you're sitting in the middle of it. And an implant GPM looks like it had a little alley. About 3-4 feet wide. But longer. It looks much longer. They're normally about 75 feet or 85 feet or even 100 feet long, you see. Sometimes longer than that. Thetan stuck on a pole was pulled down between these things, you see. And once in a while you think your PC is running an actual GPM and he says, what is this parking meter? Well, this is not necessarily meaningful because the implant GPM might be part of the RI which you're running out of the actual GPM. You see, the actual GPM is enormously senior to an implant GPM. Implant GPM has the power to aberrate of key-in. It has no native power in itself to aberrate all by its little old lonesome because it isn't that strong. It doesn't amount much. Oh, well, you getting stuck in the middle of them with the pings and the bangs going from left to right, and your jaws are hurting and your eyes feel all inflamed and so forth, there's nothing to be sneezed at, has about the same power of aberration as breaking your leg or something like that, don't you see? But I suppose any PC has got 8,760,272,943.5 broken legs. And he's still functioning somehow or another. You see, it's quantitatively nonsense. It doesn't matter. But here you've got a situation where the PC sitting in the middle of this implant GPM suddenly doesn't recognize what it is as an implant GPM because it's all black mass. Well, a black mass, oddly enough, is his suppress. The black mass doesn't much come from the implanters. It comes from the suppression of the thetan. You put the button suppress in very much on implant GPMs, and you wish you hadn't. Engrams and implants, you really mustn't run midroods on. They mush and they do bad things. If you run an implant GPM, putting in lots of midroods, why, you'll very soon be in very sad trouble as an auditor because the mass is beginning to mush and so forth. It can't stand up to it. It's not true of an actual GPM. It's not true of an actual item. These things are big, strong, and tough, and you can run all the midroods you want to on the things, and you're not going to get in any trouble. But getting back to what I was saying there, the individual running a wrong goal in an implant GPM actually gets a similar effect. You can run out of RR and RI if you're running 3N implant GPMs, you see. You can get the same effect. You can run out of RR. You think the goal is to be cold, you see, something like that. It's actually a bit worse than this. It's to be dead. Rather common goal, to be dead in these implant GPMs. Seldom to die, usually to be dead. In fact, I don't know of any implant GPM which is to die. They're all to be dead. It's very easy. But getting back to what I was talking about there, you get into trouble just running the wrong goal in implant GPM. What do you think happens with this great big mass for which you don't have any name? Well, you can start running items in it because the PC has no guide. He doesn't know where to go. He doesn't know what the name of it is and so forth. He's going to go over the hills and far away, and he's going to go into other implant GPMs. And very shortly, running an implant GPM will happen this way too, but in an actual GPM, this gets very serious. You're running a goal with no name. See, you haven't got the goal. You're running the GPM, you haven't got the goal for the GPM, and you run RIs, and now listen carefully. It isn't so much a problem that you run out of RRs, see, and blowdown, you know, and needle-likes. That is not really the problem. The problem is that you almost never find the item for that GPM. You usually find an item in some other GPM or an implant. If you haven't got the goal, in other words, it isn't just that you're slash and surge and all that stuff shut off on your needle. It's the fact that you now give the PC the wanders. And with what ease you will pull in an item out of an implant GPM. That's very easy to do now. You have no guide, you see. So PC will pull an implant item in. And then you oppose that in some knuckleheaded fashion. And you all of a sudden will find that your hair should start standing on end. You find an item in some other GPM, actual GPM, see. You know, not even the one you didn't have the goal for. Understand me? You're already running one wrong. See, you haven't got the goal for this GPM. But now, because you are finding items in it, you are very likely to pull an implant GPM into that GPM. Now, you got that. That's bad enough. Now, if you persist, you then will pull... This is great stuff for an auditor's nerves. If an auditor can live through these R4s without going mad and if he can hold his coffee cup without it slipping out both sides while auditing this on somebody, why, we call him a steady auditor. Only slipping out one side, we pass him, see? Nervy stuff. Because, you see, the next item you find is going to be out of another GPM. Out of another actual GPM. So that brings... it's all right now at this point. Start looking pale. This brings another GPM out of line and pulls it up and yanks it into the GPM you haven't got the goal for. Got that? Now, as you oppose this one, since you've already skidded on the track, it isn't that you just don't have a guide. It's just that there's some mystery about all this. How come all these things go wrong when you just don't have the goal for this GPM? Well, it's almost magic how wrong it can go, see? It isn't that the PC just doesn't know. Just don't put it down to the fact, well, he doesn't know what the goal is, so he doesn't know what item to list on it. It isn't there. These other things just go wrong just for the hell of it all on their own, see? So now you oppose this one. Now you've got another GPM in here. See, you've already pulled an implant GPM into the actual GPM. Now you've got your next item, and that took a GPM down the track up here, 65 feet, 5 feet high, 20 feet wide, and that towed that up the track and pulled that into this GPM that you didn't have the goal for. You got it? Weirdly enough, PC's still in the GPM you don't have a goal for, because there's where he is dying item by item, see? All right, now we oppose that. We oppose that one, and we're very likely to reach way to some other corner of the bank and tow up another actual GPM and pull that into this one. PC, by this time, he looks like he had a cross between yellow fever and typhoid or something like this, but at this point, of course, he ceases to be certain of his auditor. For some reason or other, at this point, he has some lapse of confidence. And he doesn't necessarily, oddly enough, ARC break. He just gets puzzled and starts to what's it like, man. And he'll say there's lots of things he doesn't understand about what's going on. That's usually what you get out of this kind of a mess. He doesn't quite understand what is going on. Well, of course, the auditor at this stage of the game, if it's a very persistent auditor who knows he had better get on with it and get his job done because the thing to do is to find items, you see, doesn't notice this tone arm is motionless by this time, you see, and is likely then to go on and compound the felony and pull another series of implant GPMs in on top of this one. PC, by this time, can recognize nothing, see nothing, have nothing to do with anything. Got the idea? I mean, that's... too horrible for words. Now what happens? Well, actually, your proper action is to find the goal for the GPM you thought you were working with in the first place. Your proper action is to do everything you can to find that goal, whether you had to do it by represent lists or inspections of the meter. It's very tricky. You can ask, does it have something to do with the subject matter, you see, that you're already handling? You thought you were running to be coal, don't you see, or something like that. And your subject matter, does it have something to do with being coal, or has anything to do with coal and so forth? You can get a fairly good rendition off of your meter. You can at least block it out, you see. You can say, well, give me some represents, you see. Give me some goal similar to this goal or something like that. You're not really doing a goals list. It doesn't follow the rules of a goals list. You're just tinkering with this thing, trying to put it right and find the goal. You'll find yourself doing this every now and then, particularly if you didn't do a good, thorough goals list job in the first place. There's no substitute for a good goals job in the first place, see. But nevertheless, even though you do one, you occasionally run into this other condition. Now, you think that's the end of it. You found the right goal, and all of a sudden, oh, the guy's RR. You see this thing, the goal RRs, and you can tell it's the right goal, because in this particular instance, the only thing that will turn back the RR is not some similar goal. A similar goal won't turn on an RR. It's got to be the goal, you see, right down to the last comma, see? That's got to be the goal. And you read this and you see the thing RR, you know you've got it because the RR is back on. See? You won't find some other goal. Nothing will RR until you find that right goal. Interesting, isn't it? And now, because you sinned and went on and on and on without having the right goal for that GPM, you now have to take every one of those items and identify it, analyze it, identify it, and put it in its right place and try to path the track back into some kind of condition. And you do that by asking, is this an implant item? Is this an actual item? Is this from the GPM we were working? Is it from some other GPM? Is it a lock on an RI? Is it a lock on an implant RI? Is it a lock on an actual GPM RI? Is it something or other? You see, you just go on with questions of that particular type, and you get that thing identified, and all of a sudden the PC will say, oh, well, yeah, yes, yes, and you suddenly see your thing start to blow, and a 65-foot-long GPM hooked up and it starts moving back into its right place. You got to undo this ball of yarn that you have undone and tangled. You got to undo that tangle and put it back into its proper order again. That sounds pretty wild, doesn't it? Sounds pretty wild. It's things like this, and this is only one of them. I want to cheer you up today in cheery mood. Really, the first day of high furnace heat, I just want to make you feel happy about this whole thing. That is not all of the problems connected with R4. That's just one of them. It will happen to your PCs. Don't think you can avoid it. It'll happen to you as a case. It's fairly inevitable. It's happened to me twice, and three times, I think, in running an awful lot of GPMs. But all of a sudden, I noticed that the auditor's gone white as chalk, not feeling too alert yourself, you see. And start to run a what's-it, and it turns out that your RR has been shut off for the last item or two. So it can happen, don't you see? This is not an unusual action. And just to cheer you up is only one of the problems connected with R4. It's not enough to be an expert. That's the first lesson you got to learn. You be an expert and then work like hell from there on. First be an expert and then work like the dickens. Because you'll find that an auditor who's an old hand at running this type of OT type processes will give you this. Will give you this as a maxim. And you yourself one day, regardless whether I've told you this here, will one day be sitting there after a particularly arduous session, and you will come up with this as a datum and so forth, all on your own bat. As how you run it. You do the very best you can. You do everything as best you possibly can. And then you cope with the things that go wrong. You don't try to run a total perfection. You don't try to run this right from scratch perfectly with the expectancy that it will be perfect. You try to run it perfectly with the expectancy that every now and then you, canoe, barrel, PC are going to go over Niagara Falls. See? You can expect your PC to one fine morning not appear. And when found, they will be staring emptily at the ceiling in a total creek. And everything looked right on your meter, and everything was the best you possibly could do, and so on, and yet this occurred. Now you've got the task of unsnarling what you don't know is wrong yet. You don't know what's wrong, and yet you have to unsnarl it. So you have to find out what's wrong and unsnarl it. Now, there's no real sense in getting super emotional about it. That is what you can expect. You do the best you can, and you cope with the things that go wrong. And there's no sense in thinking, well, this is all just a walk in the park. See, there's nothing to it, you see. And you just sit down, and Ron's given me some little rules here, and it's all fine. And I can just put the rules in the chair, and they'll run the case. And we just sit back, and it's the whole track, you see, nicely. And the PC emerges to the other end, OT. Well, unfortunately, that is not the case. That is not the way it's happening. And I can tell you that there is absolutely no faintest possibility, no faintest possibility at all, of that condition improving to any great extent. I can give you absolutely no hope of any kind that technology will move an 1/18 of an inch beyond that deadline. R3M2 has been in existence for a very long time and has been run in a lot of areas. It is being improved. I can give you little tips here and there that improve the living daylights out of it, recognize a new way of recognizing something wrong, don't you see? Something like that. But there is no substitute for an auditor here, and there is no possibility that the technique or auditing it will become any easier in the future. Because the tips I can give you still require an auditor. They still require the same address to the case, and the hurdles are still there. And none of those hurdles are going to be mounted by any little set of rules. Any new set of rules, rather. They're not going to disappear simply because I tell you that there is a new address to this particular problem. Those hurdles are there. And the reason why this hits this horizon, the reason why this process is in this condition and will continue to be in this condition, is the matter of a meter. The meter reads just exactly the same distance always below the PC's ability to ITSA. A meter will not read any deeper than that. The sub-ITSA, in other words, this meter can see further into the case than the PC can ITSA. Well, that's a godsend, because it, in actual fact, can see far enough to barely get us by. As the PC's ability to ITSA improves, the sub-ITSA level on the meter rises. This is a constant distance. The meter is never going to see deeper. Now, I've experimented with meters for a long time. I'm going to make a very, very antipathetic statement to any research man when I say this meter is not going to be improved. See, that's antipathetic to a search man. He likes to sweep statements like that aside. Remember, I've been trying to improve this meter. We've been working on this meter one way or the other. We have spent quite a bit of money and time in very recent times trying to improve meters, and the limiting factor on the meter is a mental factor, not an electronic one. And that is that the individual ITSAs at level A, and the meter reads always then at level B. And as you cannot develop a meter which is more sensitive, that will then read to level C. Do you understand? And this meter's already at the zenith. You get anything more sensitive than that meter, it gives you more trouble and has more variations and vagaries on it and gives the auditor more trouble than it gives him help, don't you see? So as you begin to make this meter more sensitive, as you begin to switch around and change and alter various factors in it, you start entering in various other things. Now, of course, the modern medico approach, Pavlovian, he's got the answer. You stick the electrodes into the brain of the patient. I've had these dogs actually propose this seriously as the solution to an e-meter. I mean, I'm not joking now, that we use an e-meter whereby we bore holes in people's skulls and put the electrodes into the brain, and this gives you a more sensitive reading. Now, I've tried to inform these fellows, haven't you slightly mistaken our purpose? We're not trying to kill the patient, we're trying to help him, you see? And these fellows look at me with complete blankness. They had never realized that we had any idea of helping anybody. They thought we were just trying to find out. Now, therefore, you can look at no real help from the electronics of a meter. There won't be any. You can put these things, we've tried oscilloscopes. But these things have terrible liabilities. I think if we've invested $1 billion, we would probably come up with a slight improvement. We would probably have moved the B below the A, maybe a thousandth of an inch. See? Hardly worth struggling for, see? The improvement. You can put oscilloscopes. Great big, you can imagine you auditing with an oscilloscope, you know, great big dial, you see here, and the thing is going back and forth, you know, and... You know these old sing songs where you have the ball bouncing off the words, you know? This thing going back and forth, you know? I'll tell you something about that. Society is sufficiently electronically advanced to conquer space and to put a spaceship through the air at trillions of light years. Trillions of light years an hour. That fast, have not conquered two problems. They've never even come close to the problem of the human mind or any other mind. Never come close to it. It's something like a small boy shooting at a squirrel in Germany by being in Denmark. See? Not even a miss, you see, just another state. They have never conquered space communication. These very fancy spaceships can go so much faster than light waves and so forth, they can never telephone home and say, what do I do next, Joe? You know, that's what causes the warfare state of this universe, the inadequacy of a communication wave. You can never communicate to anybody. Space fleet sent out is, of course, immediately beyond any possibility of communication or control. This and that and the other thing. A lot of problems add up around this sort of thing. If you have a crash, for instance, even if your telephone or radio was preserved and so forth, you would never be able to call home and say, we ran into a telephone pole, Joe, send the wrecker. That's the end of that. People look for you for a long time on your predetermined course lines or something like this. The answer to communication is life, a living being. You can always, of course, release an individual from a wreck to return to base and tell the boys what happened. This, by the way, is the only method which is used in space opera. Didn't mean to get off on a space opera, I'm just giving you relative development. Well, they turn the guy loose out of the wreck and he goes home and he says, hey, the boys are wrecked over on Pluto. That's the only answer they've had to it. But they couldn't improve that because they didn't know anything about life of the mind. Interesting, isn't it? Didn't know anything about that, so they couldn't improve that, which left them totally, really, without communication. Because the times you can exteriorize somebody and send him back to Pluto or send him back to home base from Pluto and so forth reliably, he'd have to be in pretty terrific shape. But this has a limiter on it. The second you apply a real science of the mind, you get powerful beings. And you get fellows who are very able and capable and that sort of thing. And one, they wouldn't be riding in a spaceship to Pluto. So the situation is actually not a neat statement. It can't be made as a neat statement as you improve one or the other. But these two things have never been improved. communication in the universe runs up against a factor of this particular character, and knowledge of the mind, and that has... Oh, they've done quite a bit in this particular direction. They know how to implant people and so forth. But they can make people worse and so on. But making them better, the easier route is to make them better, and yet they haven't been able to do that. So those are dead-ended lines. And it's my contention that if the great electronic civilizations, where the way you get your coffee in the morning is to roll your head on the pillow... you just roll your head over to the other side of the pillow and sleep for a few more minutes, and the coffee appears on the side table, brimming hot, exactly to the temperature you like to drink at that particular moment, you see. And simultaneously, why, the living room is swept up and somebody's informed the office you are now awake, and any gimmickry that you can possibly think of, you see, way in advance of any gimmickry we've even dreamed of on this planet, you see. They haven't been able to develop anything that reads the mind. We haven't got a prayer. Okay, as far as, because we're dependent there on another line of science. We're dependent on the electronic development of the age. And that we have managed to mulch this out of the electronic technology extant in this time and period. It's absolutely miraculous. Absolutely miraculous. And that's the, what somebody laughably called the other day, the United States government, busy seizing, trying to seize this, is actually no accident at all. That, by the way, isn't a very serious suit. I just got a full report on it in the midst of everything else. The last 2 weeks have been legal weeks. And that isn't now considered a very serious suit. If it ever went up to trial, we'd win it like that. They can't find anybody to testify. Even people we've ARC broken up, set, and so forth won't come in and clobber us. Government's having a hell of a time. Feel sorry for it, the poor government. I don't happen to have any items in that particular line. I'm developing some. One of their ideas of fighting this case, by the way, was showing that I was mad because I thought tomatoes talked. These guys can't even read, you know. Well, we expect... I always knew they were lip movers, but I didn't think they just couldn't read anything. Anyway, they're trying to clobber this meter. This has given me some puzzlement as to why they were trying to clobber this meter, because I wondered if they weren't getting orders from someplace or something, you know. Trying to puzzle this thing out. And then I thought, well, they're just nasty-tempered, ignorant louts, and that explains it, so I'll just let it go. The fact is, this meter's been 80 years in existence. This is not a new meter. This is an old thing. But we've grooved it up and sensitized it up to a point where it performs our function. We know more about these things than other people have ever known about, and we know the voltage it best operates on. And nobody ever dreamed of running these things before at 7.5 volts or something like that. We've done a lot of work this way, and all this is limited technology, because it's limited by the state of development of the period in which we live. So just take a tip from me. The possibility of your meter getting better from a standpoint of its guts, and therefore reading deeper on the PC than meters now read, is not improbable, but non-existent. Forget it. Now, I stirred up a cup of genius the other day and whipped up a meter that makes it easier for you to list, that it's easier to handle and that sort of thing. That's in production. I saw the prototype of it the other day. But that's in design. That has to do, physical design of the case. Had nothing to do with the guts. And there's a glass pane, and you look through this glass pane to write your list. Therefore, you don't have to look sideways and develop that mirror inside the cornea. And this is a very tricky meter. It's a listing meter. And you look through this meter, and you see the needle floating in thin air on the glass panes, you see. And you look through these two glass panes, and your hand is here on the other side of the meter. So the thing actually is a little thing. It's much smaller than this, by the way. It's like this, and you look through this in order to write, and of course your line of sight passes through this floating needle. And of course that needle can't wiggle without you seeing it. See? And it goes out of set, that sort of thing. Why, of course, your thumb is right there, bang, because you see that it's out of set. You don't have to pick your eyes up off of what you're listing in order to see if you've had a read on it, in other words. There are various adaptions of this. This meter, by being wired just the other way too, could be set in a desk, now they're getting real fancy, with a projection light underneath the meter, with the knobs that controlled it over here someplace, and you would have the shadow of the meter projected on the paper you were writing the list on. It's actually the same meter. You'd hardly have to change it at all to do that with. This is very fancy, don't you see? Now, if you took that meter and put it in a desk like this so it projected its light against the back of your list, and you had a video, not a tape recorder, you see, but a video that gave you the picture and everything, and this video machine was running over here, and that just had a couple of click buttons, it would be so rigged as to take a picture of your meter, see, while you were auditing the PC, and record your voice and the PC's voice and make a total record of the session, don't you see? Now, if that video was improved electronically a little bit further, why, of course, every time you moved the tone arm, it would put a certain number of clicks on the videotape, and then by running the videotape back through, why, it would also give you the total down divisions of TA for that particular session. Ah, you could fix this up so a Coca-Cola would also appear, probably chilled. You see the direction this could move from there on. We actually cease to deal in sensitivity or workability of the meter and simply get into flubber, jubber stuff, foo-for-all, word of another age and time. Anyway, this little meter with the pane of glass in it answers all these things. It's very lightweight. It's tiny. It surprised me that it could come up so light. And it's a lemon, the plastic on it and so forth, is lemon-colored. Rather smart. It comes in a very beautiful British leather case. Gorgeous, gorgeous case. But that case isn't going to read your PC, see? And nothing else is going to read your PC. And you being able to see the needle better on top of the glass, that isn't going to read your PC any better, don't you see? That's going to make it easier on the auditor. In other words, your developmental line is to make it easier on the auditor, see? Make it easier for the auditor to read and see what is going on. But not actually more sub ipsa from the PC. That limit is there. All right. Let's look on the looking further on the horror of it all. Your PC is of very little assistance even when he's itsing. In fact, sometimes quite the contrary. The number of things he will assert then causes these things to read on the meter. He's asserted this is an actual GPM, so when you read it on the meter, it reads as an actual GPM, don't you see? And you don't quickly put in your rudiment and say, on this, has anything been asserted or suppressed or invalidated or something like that, and then read it, you see? Well, of course, your limitation is you haven't heard him assert anything, so you don't do that. You see, a slippy, sensible auditing approach here. But what have you got? Your PC is sitting there. He's being hammered and pounded by the biggest, toughest aberrations that he has ever been able to develop, and they're flashing back on him in a solid avalanche as he goes through this stuff, and he's being knocked around, and his ITSA is just what he can actually, factually realize, and it's not very high, because the thing which is reducing his ITSA is what you're running. You see, this is a case of the snake eating its tail. This thing defeats itself. In other words, you could run these things out easily if the PC could ITSA better. But the PC can't itza better because he's got these things. The thing to do is to clear him and then have him itza these things and tell you what they are. You get all kinds of wild and silly solutions with this. And of course, that's an automatic limitation. Now, as far as techniques that improve this condition, you've had one in just an analysis of what is itza and the itza maker and the what's it line and TA action and get TA action. All these are just general improvements of auditing. And if you can do these things, of course, you can improve the PC's ability to itza. But it improves only to a certain extent. And after that, it can only be improved by R4, because the thing which preventing him from itzing now are the items which are contained in R4. But nevertheless, as you find these items, getting a little more TA action than you would normally get, auditing a little more smoothly, making fewer mistakes, not making no mistakes, but making fewer mistakes, and you continuously rise the PC's ability to itza, and the job gets very good. So it requires basically very smooth auditing. It's auditing. It's smooth auditing is what this requires. Now, the rules of auditing apply to all R4. And if an auditor is basically a rough auditor, he's going to have trouble. He's going to have more trouble on R4 than he would ordinarily get, because he's going to reduce the PC's ability to itza, reduce the PC's meter ability, so you won't get the right answers off the meters, you see. And then you get into more confusions and more upsets than you'd ordinarily wouldn't give. So it comes down to basic auditing. So you've got to improve basic auditing and improve your ability to audit basically, you see. This is the cornerstone on which R4 must be built. We already see a process here which is going to go to hell in a balloon at the least chance, you see. It's going to go bang. Well, let's not make it go bang because of a bunch of fumble bum auditing, see. I'll give you an example. PC says, I think you've overrun the list. I think the list is too long. I think the item back on the list is cheesecake. Now, I think the item's back on the list earlier, and I think it's cheesecake. The auditor is insufficiently alert to see that when the PC said cheesecake, there was a beginning of a commotion on that meter, you see, and is insufficiently schooled to realize the list is already too long, and goes on knelling down the list and ignores this PC statement, cheesecake, see? Just kicks that out the window, just ignores it or plows on further, you see? Well, you're going to have a lot of trouble there, man. You've now added some more suppress and you've added a potential, you've got a cut comm line on the PC and the PC's ability to itza has been reduced and so forth. Well, it isn't much in itself. You eventually go back and find out that it is cheesecake, or you go back and find out that it wasn't cheesecake. But the net result is that the mess has resulted from just unsmooth auditing. PC says something, at least give him cheers, and say, all right, you say it's cheesecake. You see, audit with the PC, not a system, you see. You say, that's cheesecake, cheesecake, cheesecake. Anything been suppressed on it? No? All right. Oh, I'm sorry, that doesn't read. Doesn't read yet. Might read later. It doesn't read now. And the PC is, its has been handled to this degree and not totally invalidated, you see. And the PC, you very often find out that it was cheesecake. You see, the rolling RR, that's what almost knocks you off. You make that list one item longer, and the RR moved one bit further. It isn't that each item has a different RR. The RR all come from the goal. So the RR coming from the goal, therefore and thereby, operates to move as you list. So that you went, the item that fell, three from the top is the item, and yet you went five down and had another one that fell. Now the RR lives at five. The right item is at three. You call three, you say, cheesecake, cheesecake. And you don't whistle the RR back because it has moved further down the bank, and the PC's attention is now stuck deeper into the GPM. And so therefore you can't get your attention. Oh, the GPM, I can work over the cheesecake. Till after you list a little while longer, and finally the PC puts cheesecake back on the list again, or does something like this. And you, all of a sudden, if you're lucky, you'll see cheesecake, and it'll read again. Well, what happened is you move the RR, the rolling RR, you move that thing out from underneath it. See? I shouldn't be using RR because you don't list by RRs these days. You list by surges. The stable datum is, it took me 20 minutes or 10 minutes or 12 minutes or something like that to teach somebody whose name I won't mention the other day, a datum, one datum, one datum, one datum. And that is this datum. And you better know this datum. I don't think you will. I think you'll do something else with it and then eventually come back to it and know it. An RI in an actual GPM is anything that surges, falls, or rocket reads while being listed. And that is the point of assumption from which we adjudicate an RI. And it doesn't happen to be true. See? It's not a total truth, because you could also find an implant RI on the list someplace, you see, and it would read too. But it's still an RI and a GPM someplace, isn't it? Even though it's an implant GPM. You consider anything that falls, anything that does a, well, you know, surge, RR, any kind of a left to right as you face the meter action, anything that does that, you assume that any item which, when said by the PC, did that, that was an RI. That's an RI. What's an RI? It's an item that does that, regardless. Of course, you can now describe it in its geographical position in a bank and what it is and how it composes and compounds and all sorts, and you can go into that endlessly. But the truth of the matter is, the point of assumption from which we are operating today in the auditing of items is just that point of assumption. And it doesn't have anything to do with anything else, and there is no additive to this. And that is itself, and many of you said, oh, now then, when you list, so therefore, if something appears on list, that isn't what I said. Let me call your attention. All I have told you is that we assume that, this is the point of assumption, that anything which moves the needle from left to right, anything that moves the needle from left to right, in a surge, in a fall, or an RR, that's or, see, was an RI in a GPM. And that's how we define one as far as it's assumed. If it did it, that's what it is, GPM. Right? Elementary, that is it. And that's the RI in relationship to the meter. That isn't even anything in relationship to a list, don't you see? That's just a datum by itself. You get out of your skull this datum, that an RI is something that RRs only, that an RI is something that does this only, or does that only, or does something else only. You just throw that datum out, just pick up the lid of the garbage can and dump it in, because this other datum is the one we have to operate from to find and work, make R4 work. Otherwise, you're going to get in trouble. You don't operate from this datum and know this datum well. What's an RI? Well, we assume anything is an RI which causes action on the needle from left to right as you face the needle, which we would call a fall, a surge, or an RR. Now, somebody's gonna modify that on you sooner or later. Somebody's gonna change that on you, or you're gonna change that. And the moment you change that, you're gonna be in trouble. You're gonna be arguing around, and you all of a sudden are gonna have something on the order of, say, I didn't think that 1 inch was a fall. I didn't think 1 inch was a fall. You get the change of datum. Somebody's going to get around this, see? Oh, but it RR'd, so I didn't really give it to you because it shouldn't have RR'd. It should have disintegrated. You get the idea. You get the number of variations here that can go on this assumption. And just know this about that assumption, that there aren't any, and that's the primary assumption that you have to have firmly in mind with R4. Otherwise, you're going to get yourself in all kinds of trouble. Now, you notice I haven't said it's something which falls when you call it back to the PC. I haven't connected this with auditing in any way, shape, or form. It just lives in pristine purity all by itself as a datum uncontaminated by application. That's an RI, behavior on a meter. Now, if you know that, you recognize that, you see what the score is with regard to that, you're going to have very little trouble. Very little trouble. Because this now can be used in listing, it can be used in nulling, it can be used in testing it, it can be used in this, that, and the other thing. Now, the basic listing datum, which you should use, is the first RI, or the first item on a list that can be made to fall, surge, or RR on being called back to the PC. That's the earliest one on the list, that when being called back will fall, surge, or otherwise, is probably, we hope, maybe, the item that goes in that position. But that by overlisting, we can move the read on the list down. Now, knowing that, you get into a very simple situation here. It gives you a terrific number of one-item lists. The best answer is to know what an item looks like on a meter, undescribable. It looks a certain way on a meter. For each PC. Isn't the same for all PCs, but it's pretty close to the same for all PCs. So what you must do is recognize an item when you see one on the meter. But until you do, in listing, follow the severest rule. Again, not necessarily the right rule. Is don't let the PC list be on the first fall. You say, well, we'll cut off his itza if we shut him up. You better cut off his itza. Yeah. That RR will be rolled right on down the bank and the right item won't be readable now. Wow. So you get things all arranged with the PC. You say, when the quarterback says so-and-so and hits the wicket with the cricket bat, by saying thank you, or that's it, or something like that, thank you is probably better. You're to shut your mouth, and you're not to say nothing else. Now, this is very hard on somebody in W Unit who has been shot very recently for having dared shut the PC off, do you see? But boy, you better get to that valve and close it tight right now, because you're going to be in trouble if you don't. Now, you get to take the first datum I give you, you'll see why. You'll see why. So just list till you see an item on the list, using that earlier definition as the item. Just list till you see an item on the list. And without startling the PC unduly, say, thank you, that's it. Got it? All right. Now I'll read this item back to you. Now I'll read the item back to you. Well, I was saying, I had it. I'm trying to get. Cheesecake. It reads, is that your item? Well, as a matter of fact, it is. Yes. Sometimes, however, no, I wouldn't oppose it. You usually suspect, not that the list is incomplete, but that it is overlisted. You probably had an earlier item than cheesecake, which you didn't notice read. So you go on these various data. In other words, you got to shut that PC up. You can't let that PC list, man. Don't let them list, because you're going to be in trouble. Any list that tends to get long. Long is used advisedly. What is a long list? Well, it's a long list. And any item which is used advisedly like this, any long list comes about because the item you are listing from was the wrong item. That's also true of goals. That's true of anything. The item you are listing from was incorrect to begin with. Your list gets long, see? Your list gets long. And you just can't get anything to read back. And the PC says, batter cakes, you see? And you say, thank you, you know? Thank you. Batter cakes. It fell beautifully when he said it, see? You can't get it to read back. Well, let him list a little bit further. And he comes now with cupcakes, you see. Good, thank you. Cupcakes. You sometimes see, this is the mark of an amateur, and it's also the mark of a very harassed pro. Cupcakes. Cupcakes. This item been suppressed? Yes. All right. Cupcakes. Sorry, it doesn't read. You get into too much of that sort of a situation, you see, and your list is going for, I don't know, it's going for 30, 40, 50 items or something like that, and you still can't get anything to read. You have to assume that what you are listing from was incorrect in the first place. And the usual assumption is that there was an earlier item on the list than the one you gave the PC. That is the usual assumption. You don't now continue that other list. In other words, listing items is not handled by extending lists. They're handled by rolling back the RR, if possible, under the item it should have been under in the first place. You follow me? R4, M2 is nearly always overlisted on items and underlisted on goals. The only thing that really follows all of the rules of listing is a goals list. That follows all of the rules of listing beautifully. Two items reading on the same list, shoot the PC. It's not complete, see? two items, reading, this, that, all these other rules that you know, they apply to goals lists. The list is incomplete, the list is this, the list is that. That applies all to goals lists. And they are usually under-listed. Auditors tend to list too few goals. That's the tendency, because a PC begs off all the time. And, well, it's on the list now. I know it's on the list. It must be on the list, and so forth. Well, you haven't had an RR for a long time, have you? Well, no, I haven't had one. I haven't had one. Well, how many? Well, it's 27. That's 27 since the last rocket read. Oh, well, 27 since the last rocket. Well, that's all right, I guess. Boy, if he'd only put 28 on, he would have gotten another RR, don't you see? And then he takes a goal from an incomplete list, and it is then messed up because he has skipped a couple of GPMs, and the PC's attention is dislocalized for moved from where it should be on, don't you see? A lot of things happen. See, taking an item off an incomplete goals list and doing something with it, and it's a mess. So an incomplete or underlisted goals list gives bounteous trouble. Wow, that's lots of trouble. In most of your horrible psychosomatic responses to R4 stem from incomplete goals lists. Nothing wrong with item lists, but something wrong with the goals list, see? All right. Item lists, listing for items inside a GPM, tend to be overlisted. See? Goals lists tend to be, you see, they tend to be underlisted, and item lists tend to be overlisted. You'll see some auditor with what enthusiasm going on his item list, you know. Bang, bang, on and 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 on. Boy, he should have shut up and moved down and stopped a long time ago, you see. Item lists must be as short as possible. You only want an item list just long enough to be able to get the item on it. You'll have a tremendous number of one-item lists. You'd be surprised how often the PC comes up with the exact next item. PC sometimes also in a blue moon skips one. But you'll be surprised at how many one-item lists you've got. So much so that there is a certain way of writing up the list so that you don't have to keep copying the item you have just found. You just circle it and draw it into your next question. And then circle that and draw it into the next question, don't you see? And circle that and draw it in the next question, just for rapidity of listing. You can list fairly rapidly this way. You've got to call it back, and it's got to fall and blow down. It's got to do all these things. You've got to do your courtesy steps on it. There's no reason you do these things slowly. But you'll be surprised how seldom you have to list a long list on an item. And if you do list a long list on an item, and you can't get anything reading back easily, and it isn't making good sense, why, you assume already that you have just got through finding a wrong item, and you backtrack one list, and then fix that list up. And it usually is an earlier item on the existing list. It's not something that you extend, don't you see? That's the way you handle these things. Now, even with that, you'll make a mistake occasionally. But these are fairly infallible actions, that you start extending item lists endlessly, and you're going to get in trouble. Now, we've done tests. We've done a lot of tests, one way or the other. Tests of how complete lists are, and mathematical count lists, you see, I mean, like 25 beyond and 12 beyond. And we've done all kinds of list tests of various types, you see. There's a lot of this work has been done. And there is only one listing that works, and that's the one I just described to you. So all of those other listing systems are not only kaput, but dangerous. You don't want RRs, the next to the last rocket reading item on the list and the last rocket reading item on the list. You remember that system and so forth? That just finds tons of wrong items. But this one, now another thing is you say, well, gee whiz, this item rocket read beautifully. It's rocket read beautifully, so therefore, you know, item. Therefore, it must be the item, because look at that beautiful rocket reed. Well, a rocket reed proceeds out of solid mass. Therefore, you expect goals to rocket reed, but you don't expect items to. If an item rocket reads, it's inevitably the wrong item. Ah, horrible, isn't it? You've got to have a disintegrating reed, and it more looks like a fall than anything else. But if that item rocket reads with a beautiful, stylized rocket reed, it must be gripped in a very solid case to rocket reed that beautifully. So therefore, it isn't disintegrating. So therefore, it wasn't the next item to come up. Do you see that? The reason the goal rocket reads so beautifully is because it's got that 65-foot by 20-foot by 10-foot case. See, and that imparts this beautiful rocket reed with the whip start and the hook end and perfect. Of course, it's perfect. It'd be perfect, too, if the thing was that much encased, you see. Now, very often, implant RIs that are RRing are also suspect a little bit, but implant RIs tend to rocket read more often than actual GPM RIs. Now, you don't throw it out because it rocket reads if you see that it's a stylized rocket read, but you regard it with considerable suspicion. You wonder if you didn't miss a fall just earlier on this list, you see. You don't get any wild, scurvish, whirling dervish dance over this thing just because you made something rocket read. The least valuable commodity you can have is a rocket reading item. That's something like yesterday's newspaper or something. It's going to be wrong. Anything that it says is going to have some difference in it. A goal, on the other hand, that doesn't rocket read is something to be regarded with considerable suspicion. This goal blew down and, smoke came out of the E-meter and everything went bang and PC was delighted with it, cognited all over the place, you know. Rave notices in all directions. Felt so much better. But the auditor could never make it rocket read. I know the history of several of these things, one or two of them in particular. Blew down, did all the things I just said. See, gorgeous. Everybody was very delighted with it. But later on it transpired that it was a lock on an RI in the first bank. Of course, the power that the thing had was the partial disintegration of an RI. It wasn't even a GPM, don't you see? It wasn't anything. It was just a lock. And there are tremendous numbers of actual goals hanging around the perimeters of RIs in actual GPMs. You see, it's very hard to do. But if you knew what the goal was, if you knew what the item was before you found the item, it's very hard to do unless you find some out of sequence and ARC break the PC like man. But if you knew what the item was before you found it, then you could probably tailor make the goal that would also read. Give you an idea. Thirst. The item is thirst. See, that's the RI. Thirst. And if you knew that that was going to be the item, you could then read to thirst or to be thirsty or even to be dry and get a falling goal of some kind or another. You'd get a goal response. These goals would do something. It's quite intriguing to watch this, even though it's almost impossible to test. I know this because I've seen them in reverse, you see. I've seen a goal fall and then later on found out what RI it was connected with and got a big meter response by suddenly adding in this. These are actual goals, don't you see? They're actual goals of one kind or another, which assaulted through these GPMs. Well, they don't have any decent read to them, and they don't do anything very much, and you can analyze them out rather rapidly. One of the easiest things to get rid of is an actual goal, if you know an actual goal exists, you see. They're usually just locks on our eyes. I regarded this with some suspicion for a while, wondering what if our eyes weren't expressed as goals ordinarily and so forth, but they're not. But anyhow, these things hang on the perimeter of it, and there are many trips and traps for the unwary with regard to these things. But the point I'm making is that goals, now in dealing with goals, you expect rocket reads. You should know all about rocket reads. If something doesn't rocket read, you sit there and cry into your Kleenex, you see, while the PC pats you on the shoulder sympathetically. The subject of goals is then a subject of rocket reads. Anything that is a real goal can be mid-rooted up to rocket read, you see. You can fix it up. First, it'll start rocket reading on just the suppress buttons. It itself might have just ticked when you first found it, and then you get suppress in as you run suppress on a real GPM's goal, see. Why, you'll see that thing start to rocket read, suppress rocket reads. You say, on this goal, has anything been suppressed? Pow! See, you get an instant rocket read on suppress. And that'll clean up, and another button or two will clean up, and all of a sudden you call a goal. And maybe once out of three, average, why, it'll fire with a rocket read. Doesn't fire three out of three with a rocket read. That's really asking for it, because the PC is anxious and he's wondering if it's his goal, you know. And you call it once and he anticipates the next one, suppresses the thing, and of course the next time you call it. What a dog's breakfast trying to get one of these things read sometimes. And an actual GPM will blow down, but not much. It'll blow down. But blowdown is no requisite for it, whereas an RI has to blow down. An RI doesn't blow down, it isn't an RI. Sometimes an RI doesn't blow down just because the PC is waiting to find out if it's his RI. He's got the brakes on the thing, see? Cheesecake, see? And he's sitting there, and, well, did it read or didn't it, see? The auditor didn't say it read or anything like that. Hadn't really said, is that your item? I just said, cheesecake, and looked alertly at the PC, you know. The PC says, well, is it or isn't it my item, you know? Well, it read. It read. Is it your item? Yeah. You should blow that. Sometimes the PC doesn't dig it, see. It's Siberia, see. The item of Siberia, you see. And, PC can't see how this relates to instructors. Siberia instructors, you see, and so on. Oh, and then you get your blowdown. In other words, lack of comprehension can sometimes hold up a blowdown. Blowdowns, however, usually just happen, and they require no other things, but they can be slowed down. So an RI always has a blowdown. Always, invariable. An RI that doesn't ever blow down is not an RI. For that position. Now you get some of the ramifications of this definition I gave you that earlier. It was an RI, but it didn't belong there. Belonged someplace else. View of the fact that PC's got many thousands and thousands of RIs, actual RIs, and he has, in actual fact, I'd say at least 100 locks. That's being very, very conservative. For every one of these RIs, you see how many things in the bank can be made to read or can be made to function or operate with or be found or something. You've got complications on your hands here. But the point I'm making is that an RI, if it is in the right position, will fall, surge usually, and blow down. But it always must blow down to be the RI for that position. That doesn't change the definition for an RI I gave you earlier. If it's in the right sequence, it'll blow down. Very often it's quite correct as an RI, but you weren't supposed to get it for two more items. And it won't blow down yet. And this sort of thing, you have to ride this horse. Now, we look over R4M2. We find there's a lot of other little rules of various kinds or another. They're not things, however, that trip you up. I've given you the important salient factors of this process. There's one more stable datum that I think I ought to peel off, however, and hand to you. If the case is running well, you don't repair it. You only repair cases when they have ceased to run well. Person's not now running well, you repair the case. Case running well, leave it alone. I had a case running like a startled gazelle, went back up to repair an upper bank. I shouldn't have anything to do with that, man. I found about six items, then found out they didn't belong to that bank, and found out this, and found out that, and oh my God, why should I have gotten up that morning, you see? But I was repairing a case that didn't need repair. We all of us learn this lesson many times, and I just am not giving it to you as something you must know now, but something which I am inviting you to relearn every time you do it. Another guiding datum, which is of great use, is never force a balk. Never continue to audit across a balk. Never, never, never. PC, box. Q&A, man, you balk. You're doing something wrong. You're trying to drive down a one-way street wrong way, too, or you're doing something weird. But the PC will instinctively balk. You never really pay too much attention to why the PC is balking. You don't necessarily say the PC is wrong, but you don't necessarily say he's right either. PC doesn't want to go on. Well, then you better damn well find out what's wrong with the R4. I don't care what he says, what she says. I don't care. You find out what's wrong with that R4. Because there's something wrong with that R4 right now, man. Right now. And the sooner you find it, the better off you're going to be. And you start to push past any kind of a balk of that kind, you're going to be in trouble. The PC's going to go into a side effect. You're going to wrap that case around a telegraph pole. Usually the PC can be counted on balking when something is going wrong with the case. It's fairly reliable. The PC can balk as faintly as this. I don't really think I ought to have a session today. See, that's a faint balk. I really can't seem to list on this list. That's a balk. Now, there's something wrong, and you take those things up at once. Never push past them. Don't, in R4, use the datum that the auditor must go on, summer, storm, winter, snow, or night. The auditor must not pause in his flight, you see? That's the wrong motto. That's the wrong motto. You try to shove down the wrong rabbit warren on R4, and you've got yourself a hat full of trouble, and you're going to have trouble, and it's going to get worse, and going to get worse. And probably the hardest lesson you have to learn in R4 is not all of its complicated rules and how you stand on your head in order to list, that sort of thing. Don't worry about all of that sort of thing. You just basic auditing and sensitivity to the PC. You notice a balk on the part of that PC, man, find out why right now. And analyze it right down to the end of the run. Square it up, man, square it up. Notice those balks, and don't push past them. You almost never run a PC up an alleyway. Get sensitive to balks, in other words. The unwillingness to be audited. I don't feel well these days. I don't think auditing is doing me much good. Balks. Find out what they are. You'll find they're always connected with finding a wrong item, skipping some items, a wrong goal, something out of sequence, GPM skipped. You're running an implant GPM when you thought you were running an actual one. You know, horrible things are going on here, and they're actually the first notice you have of them is a little bit of a light balk. And sometimes an auditor is not sensitive enough to see a balk when he sees one. PC gets right up to the point, I won't go on, puts the cans down, you see, steps back from the chair, puts his hands behind him, you see, and is about to walk out the door. The auditor says, you know, I think that might be a balk. Well, that is a long way and a far cry from where the auditor should first notice this balk, which is simply that, I don't know, I just, and so on. Do you suppose it's doing me much good to find these items? I haven't cognited on very much here lately. That's a buck. Find out right away what's wrong, and don't be satisfied with little things wrong. It isn't that you listed the list and invalidated something on the PC, you see. It's that you listed the list through the implant GPM down to its bottom, and you have now been opposing the implant goal as an RI instead of the actual GPM goal as an RI, or it's something horrible. That you were just sitting there and all of a sudden this happened, you see. It's that sort of a process. How anybody ever gets to OT, you will sometimes wonder. Cases are on the road, however, and cases have met up with these conditions and are running through them. It is not a process of sitting there holding the sprig of violets, smiling. No, it's more like one hand full of lilies of the valley, you see, and the other hand full of clouds. You're not quite sure which direction you're going to wind up. It's a desperate situation. It is fraught with many difficulties, many upsets, and so forth. Winning through this for the auditor and the PC is a considerable task. It is very difficult, and it is not an easy process to do, and I would be lying in my teeth if I told you any differently. The road all the way to OT is the road that you're taking with this. There are lesser roads, and there are lesser heights and lesser goals. You're going all the way to OT on this. There's only one way to do it, and that's right. And even when you do it right, it'll go wrong. And there's only one road to OT, and that's the road over these confounded cobblestones and corduroys and tacks. And so there it is. And just thank your stars that it's there, and cry quietly to yourself on your pillow because it is so damned rough. That goes for a PC and an auditor. This is a rough, rough shot. We know all the answers to this. We know all the answers. But we can't get over an inability to do basic auditing. And we can't get over an inability to read an e-meter. We can't get over these corny ones. But the rest of the world, we know all the rules. And in knowing all those rules, we can impart this information. I can tell you how to do this. I can show you how to do this. But I can't show a datum sitting in a chair how to do it. You have to be alert and on your toes, and you can do it. You can do it. It is doable, and you can do it, but it isn't easy. And there isn't any easier road. I've been looking for many, many months now that we have had this process, trying to find some easier road, trying to find easier roads through it. I perfected listing a little bit. I've got a little bit better meter. So forth. These improvements are so minor that it simply dumps it on our lap and leaves it up to us to simply audit and get through and somehow or another make it. Thank you.